Hey, good evening. I see all of you here. Hope you've had a good day in the Lord. We are going to be in Matthew chapter number 16 tonight. Hi there, Miss Lindy, Brother Dave. My wife this past week had the privilege of being in a conference where the group George Barton and David Barton were giving some speeches and speaking. They do the Barner research stuff, and she took a couple of pictures of slides they were showing. And it was talking about the shift in our values as a nation. Early American values was civic duty, hard work, humility, faith, family, legality, moderation, rule of law, and simplicity. Current American values have shifted to acceptance, comfort, control, entertainment, entitlement, experiences, expression, freedom, happiness, and independence. Quite a bit of difference there, isn't it? It's happened just over a little while. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that group, but they do a lot of good research and study. Here's another slide that she took a picture of. Accountability is important, but you get what you measure. And it's talking about measurements inside of churches, how we measure things. If you measure attendance, you will get a mega church, but not disciples. You measure your dollars, you will get solvency, but you will not get ministry impact. If you measure your church by the number of staff, you'll get coverage, but never will you get effectiveness. You measure your numbers, measure your church by the number of programs, you'll get breadth of options, but you will not get spiritual maturity. You measure your church by the square footage that you have, you'll get activity and capacity, but you will not get changed lives. That's really pretty neat there, that one. Let's see this one here, if I can explain it. Some of these are so difficult to explain that without looking at them, you won't get what I'm saying. Okay, measuring church success. Today, the American church matrix for success is staff, attendance, dollars, programs, square footage. And that goes along with what I just read. But biblical church matrix is a world view. Go ye in all the world. Spiritual fruit, a brokenness for the things that is happening around us in our nation, our families, and in our churches. Biblical church matrix is how joyful and obedient we are. How is our relationship with Christ? So tonight, after a little bit of while, we're going to look at the church that Jesus built. The church that Jesus built. Matthew chapter number 16, verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up my cross, and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So we're talking about the church that Jesus built, and there's been a common teaching among certain denominations around this world that there is a tendency to believe that this here passage is talking about Peter being the head of the church, and so Peter being the head, therefore the papal reign that we have in Rome, the Pope is therefore the head of the house. And they take that from that one verse where it says, the head of the church, it says there, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And they say, see, ha-ha, Peter was the first pope. Peter had a mother-in-law. The papal system is kind of backwards right now anyway. But they never go down and read that portion of Scripture in verse 22 where Jesus then took Peter, took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be so. And then Jesus, he turned and he said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. They never get to that point. Where if you're going to claim this, now Jesus is saying to the first pope, Get thee behind me, Satan. Well, they stick with that one verse. And I'll tell you this, you can never have a doctrine or a teaching that comes from just one verse, dear friend. You'll have a whole bunch of trouble. You'll lead things to a whole different way. Well, then, preacher, who is the head? Who is the one that's the head? Well, the Bible is very plain and very clear. In context, you can get it from right here. Jesus is saying to Peter, upon this rock, what rock? The confirmation or the proclamation that I am the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, I'll build my church. Not Peter's church, but my church, the church that Jesus built. But if you go on and you look in other scriptures, here's just a handful just to help us to understand this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Which he wrought in Christ. When he raised him from the dead, he set him on the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Talking about Christ. Talking about Jesus. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Peter. No, even Christ. Even Christ. And then it goes on to say, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compared by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual work and the measure of every part, making increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Then Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23. Just in case we didn't have enough there to point, that says, who is the head? Who is the founder of the early church? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, not unto Peter, but unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let's look at one more so we can move on and look at some other characteristics of the church that Jesus built. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible teaches us in the Old Testament that lest the Lord build a house, their labor in vain. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And the Bible says, actually let's back up to verse number 17. The Bible says, and he is before all things, talking about Jesus, and by him all things consist, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So this is very clear. If you go and you take and you look and you can find that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. There's no other foundation. He wasn't telling Peter that you're going to be the starter of this church. He was an apostle, and the apostles were set first in the church, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so he was set in the church, and how did he get set? Jesus came by and he called the disciples, said, come follow me. So what type of church do we find in Scripture that Jesus built? And if that's the pattern, because we're patterning things, what greater pattern than that which what Jesus had built? Let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's look back in the book of Acts. Starting in chapter 1, we'll go there. We won't spend a lot of time there because we just had our missions program, our missions month, and then we had a missionary this week. But the church that Jesus built would absolutely, according to this passage, be a church that is involved in missionary work. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus is saying to the church here, they're gathered together here. The name and number is 120 of them in the meeting here. And Jesus says to them, but ye, talking about the church as a body, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We know that to be so because of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter number, the last chapter of Matthew, where Jesus tells the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, like Brother McKinley taught this week. So the church that Jesus built would definitely be a church that is involved and is concerned and is a missionary helping and sending church. And so we see that characteristic of the church that Jesus built. Let's look at Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. Verse number 45. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 45. I need 45 verses there. What did I write down? Maybe Maybe I meant 4 and 5. How about Acts 4:37? I don't know what I wrote there. Man alive. Acts 3. 4 and 37 was correct because they had land, sold it, and brought it, and that money, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. They were a giving church. They gave to help with the different aspects of the work. They were taking up offerings. There was offerings taken up and was given back to the saints at Jerusalem when they was going through a very difficult time.
Acts 2:45.
Is it 2:45? That would help me, right? Yes. And thank you, Brother Carl. And sold their possessions, goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they gave, so they were a giving church. And Paul actually says here in the book of Acts, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Where do you think they got that characteristic from? Do you think that was just like out of the wind, out of the blue? No. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's a characteristic of God, Jesus Christ, being part of the Godhead. And so he would pass off that characteristics to his church. He would teach them to be givers there in that way. If you were also in Acts chapter number 2 and verse 41, Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, they were definitely concerned about souls. Howbeit, Acts 4:4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. They believed, that means they were born again. They trusted Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. How did that happen? Because they were going, they were involved in reaching souls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one reason that we do have our outreach programs here at the church, where we try to reach out to our communities. And visit. We actually had a visitor here, a visiting family here this Sunday that stopped at the door and said that they were pleased that they finally heard at least a church that was still going with the gospel into the neighborhoods. So they were commending us to that because it's, we can be honest with you, it's almost doesn't happen much anymore. It really doesn't. But why is that important? Because that was the characteristic of the first church that the Lord Jesus Christ built. And so we are patterning ourselves after the church that Christ built. And so we're going to be a church that is involved in giving, bring to the storehouse on the first day of the week, and lay up and giving in our tithes and our offerings of our time, our talent, giving of ourselves. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we can, I saw something this past week said, knowing what is right and doing what's right is completely different. Simply is. It's not the same. And so, sometimes we get to this point that we say, well, I'm giving of my financial part and I'm meeting that goal, and we don't give of ourselves. We don't give of our time. We don't give of our talent. I mean, Lord, have mercy, dear friend, if I could sing solos that would get people's heart or be a part of a group that would help get people's heart pointed to listening to the Word of God and tenderizing their heart and, and getting them ready to receive the message and of preaching of the Word of God. And if I had that ability and I didn't do it, wow, why not? Is it your ability? Why wouldn't you be in the choir if you can sing? If you have the talent and voice that can carry a note, a tune, why not? Well, glory to God. Astros lost last night. Y'all know that? 5-4. Washington got on early. Knocked out Cole. Cole's been the best pitcher all year long. You know Cole's going to be a Cy Young winner, Brother Ben? Well, I thought y'all would be more important about that than y'all, because y'all acted like I was talking something foreign when I said, if you can sing, you got talent, you ought to use it for the Lord. So I just thought I'd change the subject, talk about something else. Maybe be a little bit more important to you. Shame on you if you have a talent and will not use it for the glory of God. Because the early church used their talents. They gave of themselves so that others might come to know Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. We need to put aside petty differences of I don't like this, I don't like that, I'm not going to be a part of this, I'm going to be a part of that. Dear friend, you are fitly and properly and joined together. If you have presented yourself as membership here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, you're getting involved. Because that's how the first church was. They were involved with every aspect of the church. If you have talents, use them. It's a shame when we have a choir that fits this much, and some Sundays we have 15 people sitting up here. Why do you think that the first church was like this? Because they were an obedient church. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Quit wanting preeminence in your own life and let Christ have preeminence in the church. Acts chapter 5, verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." The first church was obedient. Just simply obedient to God. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. The word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and great company of the priests were obedient to faith. You know, when you're obedient, you know what it does? It helps others to become obedient. If you walk around being disobedient, why in the world would you expect somebody else to be obedient? Why are we putting more thumb on somebody else than we're willing to put feet to our own selves? First church is a given church, a soul-winning church, an obedient church, a church involved in mission work, a praying church. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, listen to me, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Friend, if at all possible, dear friend, we need to be involved in the corporate prayer here at the church. It's important because the first church was a praying church. We don't gather over here at 6 o'clock just for show. I don't come over here and turn the air conditioning on for you ladies on Sunday mornings just to waste the air. And so you have a comfortable place to slip in there about 9:30, 9:40. Spend a little time on your knees and talk to the Lord. I don't unlock the door over there as soon as you go out there beside the Spanish Sunday school class, just so that the dust can just get in under the door. Man, I open it so 9:30, 9:40, you can slip around here and you can get in there and you can get time with God and pray. Well, why do you do that, Pastor? Well, I just thought it'd be a fun thing to do. No, because that's the pattern that I see here in the Word of God. It's a pattern. It's an important pattern. I'm not here to just entertain goats, dear friend. I want to grow sheep that will listen to the voice of God and follow Him. We've got to love the things of God more than the things of the world. We've got to love the fact that Christ is the head. And every one of us has a place to fit. And God wants to use this church. But we have to follow the pattern here, not the pattern of modern day society. Pastor, we've been around 69 years. Yeah? We're living for tomorrow, dear friend. Praise God for the 69 years. But we got souls that's dependent upon us and for us tomorrow that we are a church like Jesus built type of church. A praying church, a giving church, a church that's concerned about souls. And right here locally, right outside these doors, right across the street, down the hall, down your place, and an obedient church, just like we saw here. One that is worried and concerned about going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Why? Because if you know something about the church that Jesus built in Acts chapter 4, you'll find that that church was persecuted. Matter of fact, God used Saul after he wrought havoc. Used him in a mighty way. We don't understand persecution here, dear friend. Yeah. Honestly, we don't. No. I'm really concerned about an American people that get all up in arms and get bothered that they think that the government is going to take away their 501c3 capability and they may have to pay taxes. And they will not spend no time passing out tracts, inviting people to church, and getting the gospel out. But they're worried about the government handout? Well, that is ours. It belongs to us. I don't know, but as I read the Bible, I'm glad we have it. We have it, fine. If we don't, I'm going to tell you, God's sitting on his throne. But I remember reading in the scriptures, Brother Jim, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're headed into town. Jesus, the head of the church, Peter, go drop a line. The first fish you pull out, he's going to have a coin. Pay tribute. Just saying, the end of the world ain't going to happen if they come around and take our 501c3s away. You know what it might do? It might drive us away from that godly and that God dollar that we have to the God of heaven. Might put a little bit more faith and trust in the God of heaven than that in God I trust on a coin. Amen. Just say it. Amen. We worry about so much craziness. Amen. And not really concerned about the pattern we see in the Bible. We do. Honestly, we do. Something was funny, but it probably wouldn't be funny right now. Yeah. Church that Jesus built. I even get caught up in this church. I listen to other preachers talk and how they're doing and things are going. Church, listen, I don't want no circus around here. I don't need no circus. I'm not coming out here with no monkey and some little chain of music machine and making. That's not what I'm looking for. We got to be a spiritual people. And the only way to be a spiritual people, we got to follow the pattern. We got to follow the pattern. We got to make sure that we understand that there is a way that God set up in the Bible, scripturally, how churches are to operate in this world which we live in. And follow that. And the best way is to go back to the very first beginning. And the first beginning is here in Acts. And we look how they operate. And then we go through the scriptures and we begin to read. We see how God set things in order and how things are supposed to operate according to scripture. According to wants and desires and have-tos, but according to the church that Jesus built. And say, Lord, you're the head and help us to follow your church. I'm telling you, I think he'd smile down on us real big. And so he tried to mimic me. That'd be a bad thing to be emulating Christ. Because we sure try to emulate this world a whole bunch, don't we? But Church of Jesus Field. It's going to be a praying church. It's important that we pray. It's going to be a giving church. It's going to be concerned with souls. It's going to be obedient to Scripture. Concerned with our program, missionary program, those of the outreaches there. Concerned, a love for the church, a love for God's house. You know, just a hunger to be around God's people and to come in and to fellowship. Looking to get in, to get something from God instead of enduring through it. To be honest with you, I have a wonderful time here, Pastor God. A wonderful time around God's people. And when those days of persecution come, and they're going to come, dear friend. They are. We don't know it yet, but it's going to come. It's going to get a little rough around the edges. It really is. If we do all these other things, God will straighten out all that persecution. Who knows? Don't want it to happen. But Stephen preached with fervency. And you know, Stephen wasn't a pastor. Full of the Spirit. Stood up with just tenacity. Full of faith. And you don't have to be a pastor to this. Just be surrendered to this. Cause of Christ and things of God. It's a blessing when we follow after Christ's footsteps and we follow after the pattern that's in the Scriptures. It's a wonderful blessing to have God look down upon us and say, yeah, they got some things a little crooked here and there, but they're surely working on it, and I'm working on them. I am working on them. Is it good to know that God's working on us?
Amen.
We got a good God. He loves us. He wants to do a lot with us. But it's through His way, not our way. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. We pray, God, you bless us. We get the bus riders back home. We pray, God, you'd watch over those kids tomorrow, all our kids, as they go into this world, into the school systems and wherever they go to school, and help them to be a testimony for Christ. Lord, thank you for this good group of folks who come out on a Wednesday night. Well, they could have been anywhere tonight, but they chose to be in your house. Thank you for meeting with us. God, I do pray that you'd help our church to be Christ-like, Christ-honored, following after the church that you built. God, help me as the pastor of the church, Lord, to be humble, kind, meek, obedient to you, because you are the head of our church. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.